Proverbs chapter 8. The truth is this, I am not here, Joe is not here, and you are not here to hear a man preach about the gospel. You're here in hopes that Joe and myself and that you, as we fellowship, as I preach, as Joe preaches, as we fellowship together, that we will actually preach the gospel.
Yes, sir.
And preaching the gospel is to preach Christ.
Yes.
Now, I haven't always done that. I know that. I haven't always done that, but that's what I ought to always be doing. Because Christ is the central theme, and here's why. Proverbs 8, verse 22, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way before His works of old." Now, if the Scripture said it that one time, would be good enough.
Yes, sir.
But it don't just say it one time. Now, it says it in various different ways, in slightly different language, and uses slightly different words, but always this one central thing is true. The Lord possessed me. And I'll tell you why I'm putting it this way. The Lord possessed me. Stop. The beginning of His way. Now, the reason I say that is because the word "end" is not in the Hebrew. That's why. It is quite redundant if it's simply talking here about the time when this wisdom was possessed of God.
Yeah.
Because there's plenty enough to tell us about the time.
Oh, yeah.
This wisdom was possessed of God, right?
Yes, sir.
Now look at it. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, and then immediately, what? Before His works of old. And then go on. I was set up from everlasting. You see it? We have here this wisdom being possessed of the Lord before God ever did any work.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
It's not before some of His works of old, but before His works of old. Mason, to me, and if you think I'm wrong, you go ahead and tell me, but be careful. You might be wrong yourself. I'm not all that smart, but that's quite clear. We're not talking about certain works before God did anything. This wisdom was what owned, remember last week? Owned of the Lord.
Amen.
Right? But the whole truth is here, the first phrase of this is not about the time. It's not the Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way. The Lord possessed me, colon.
Sir.
The beginning of His way.
Amen.
Before His works of old. You see, this wisdom was not a work of God.
Yeah.
Because He was before His works of old, right?
Exactly.
He was before His works of old. That's why we know that the Arian heresy that Jesus Christ was created like all other creatures are is not true. Even though that word can be translated create, it doesn't mean created in the sense of all other creatures.
Yeah.
Right? This here is speaking of the covenant relationship between the Father and the Son. I was one brought up, right? Verse 30, then I was by Him as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight. You remember what our Lord said? John 8:28. Let me read that again. Then said Jesus unto them, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me,
amen,
I speak these things."
Yes.
Now that's not in the... See, the problem is when we think of that, we think of, well, He taught Christ like He taught us. It's not the same thing. This was a lesson between absolute equals. This is a lesson. This is something being taught, not as in the sense of one is lacking and the other has something to provide.
Yeah.
But one is willingly going to be under the other.
Yes, sir.
And our Lord did condescend. It says He became, even in His humanity, a little lower than the angels. Right?
Right.
for the suffering of death. There is no other way to understand Jesus Christ as a man other than in this covenant relationship with the Father. If you do, you try to understand it any other way. If you try to relate His humanity strictly to our humanity as we are now, we're going to go astray because we're fallen.
Exactly.
He was never fallen.
Amen.
He came in the likeness of sinful flesh, but He did not have sinful flesh.
Amen.
No, this wisdom was not a work of God, but He was rather, and the word here, the beginning, means the chief. This word oft times, now sometimes it's used as relation to time. But more often than not, more often it is used as to the principal part, the chief thing, the most important thing. You get it? This wisdom was not a work of God, but He was rather the chief priority of God. He was the principal part of God's way before God did any work.
Yes, sir.
All that God did was based upon Him.
Amen.
And then Paul confirms this, doesn't he, in the New Testament. Colossians, you can turn to it if you're following along. Now this, before I even read it, this is far beyond, and I see this is far beyond even my capacity to put in words. I mean, there are times now, Joe, when I look back and I look at the way I applied myself in school, and I wish to God I would have paid more attention. You know that? You ever felt that way? I wish to God I'd have had more sense when I was young and I'd have paid attention to what God Almighty in His providence was putting me through. But also know this, I'm exactly where God Almighty ordained for me to be at this moment. So I can't sit around and worry or live in the past. Paul said, put it behind you. Move on.
Yes, sir.
And in spite of my inability, the Spirit of God has an ability to teach us.
Yes.
In spite of me.
Yeah.
Not because of me. Not in light of me. But in spite of me.
Exactly.
This is what Paul says. Now this is, and Paul begins in verse 9 of Colossians 1, of course. For this, you don't begin, but you begin with the context here of what I'm going to read. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul says, I'm praying, I want you to know the truth of God.
Amen.
Right? I want you to know it. I want you to have knowledge about it, and I want you to understand that knowledge. Right? Why? One reason is, and the first thing he mentions, is that you might walk worthy of the Lord. Now, of course, most people means, for them, that means, well, that means I read my Bible a lot, it means I pray a lot, and I sing in the choir, and I teach Sunday school. That has nothing to do with this.
Exactly.
The first thing of walking worthy in the Lord is to know what you really are in yourself.
Yes, sir.
That's the first thing. Because if you miss that, you've missed the rest of it. He must increase, and I must, at best, decrease. At best, I must decrease. That you might walk worthy of the Lord. And that's, there's plenty there that could be said. But that's not the subject this morning. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. The truth is, we haven't arrived. Have we? We haven't arrived. What we do know, we don't yet know it as we ought to know it. We don't know it yet as we ought to know it. But that doesn't mean that what we do know, we roll over like little limp dish rags and let everybody else spout their opinions and not stand up against it if it's contrary to God's Word. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet. And you remember, as Earl preached years ago, right here, I got it wrote, qualified us.
Yes.
Made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And let me tell you something. Now, I got no problem with a man preaching about the present existing kingdom of God.
No, sir.
I got no problem with that.
No, you're right.
As long as he's not teaching that the church is that kingdom.
Yeah.
Because the church is not that kingdom. The church is going to be in the kingdom. And the church positionally in Christ is now in the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
We have already been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son.
Yeah, right.
Already. That's what this says.
Sir.
And as I told an individual, I won't mention his name because I'm not trying to embarrass him. I got more respect for him than I do a lot of other so-called gospel preachers. I believe that our Lord will come one day and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. But that ain't the kingdom. That's just a speck of a kingdom.
Exactly.
You know? And there are a lot of people waiting on the 1,000 years for the kingdom. The kingdom's now.
Amen.
In Christ. Because we've been, what, delivered from the power of darkness, and we've already, hath translated, right? That's past tense. Not is translating, not will one day, but hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
Amen.
And let me just leave that. That's the facts.
Exactly.
Some people say, well, you're a premillennialist, so you believe the kingdom is for 1,000 years. No, I believe the kingdom's forever.
Amen.
There shall be no end of his kingdom. And that's why the people who say the 1,000 years is symbolical of the kingdom, that's a lie, because that 1,000 years will end. It says when the 1,000 years are ended.
That's right.
Not just over, Mason. Ended.
Yeah.
So that means if that's the kingdom, then the kingdom's got a what? End. Well, that can't be the kingdom then, can it?
Exactly.
You see, we ain't that dumb, are we? But let me tell you something. Lying preachers will make you feel dumb. Because they'll confuse you. They do, as Paul said. He warns these very people. He warns us, watch their shell games. That's what they'll do, a shell game. They're not trying to as best they can, through the help of the Spirit, they're not trying to preach Christ and teach God's Word. They're trying to support a theory. They're trying to purport to you, I know something. You listen to me. No. We've been delivered from the power of darkness and been delivered from it. We are not under the power of the power of darkness anymore.
That's right.
Right? We've been delivered from it. That's what I'm talking about. You talk to some people, they think they have, but they haven't.
Yeah.
And of course, if you tell them something, they will. And I know this by experience. They'll say, well, you're judging me. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. I'm judging your experience.
Yeah.
Because what you say don't flush with this word.
Exactly.
What you say you went through that you call your salvation doesn't measure up to this word. That's the problem. And you know, you're not saying it because you don't want that to happen for them. You're saying that because you're afraid it hasn't happened for them.
Exactly.
But they don't like that. But if they're one of God's, all of a sudden they'll be the one that brings it up to you. Mark my words. Because there'll come a time when you just back off and you take your hands off of it.
Yeah.
And you know what'll happen? They'll read a book or they'll hear a message or they'll get to thinking about something. And next thing you know, you get a phone call and you say, you know what? I've been thinking about what we talked about before. Huh? That's the way God works, don't he? But look what he says. In whom we have redemption. I haven't even got to the point I was actually trying to make. In whom we have redemption through his blood, and the even's certainly not wrong. It doesn't hurt this here. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You see, I am, you are. If you're in Christ, we are forgiven.
Amen. That's it.
This forgiveness here doesn't take confession.
Uh-uh.
It took blood.
Yes, sir.
And it's
Amen.
Done. It's done. This forgiveness. Somebody says there's different kinds of forgiveness. Well, you bet your bottom dollar there is. There's that forgiveness that we have for one another. You know what that is? That's just to try to help us get along in this world so we don't end up killing one another.
Exactly.
I'm being serious with you. That's why we're to forgive one another, because if we don't, we'll end up killing one another.
Yes,
Right? Come on, let's be honest. If it wasn't for the Spirit of God moving us to be forgiving toward one another and long-suffering toward one another, we wouldn't have lasted together this long. We would have at least split up, if nothing else, wouldn't we? And some people clearly have manifested that. I don't want that no more. Now, they'll always blame one person or one group of people or one part of the people. But you know what it always boils down to? They couldn't handle the truth of God.
Exactly.
Because if you love the truth of God, you'll put up with the people who love the truth of God.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
In spite of themselves. You'll put up with them. You'll forgive them 70 times 7 if
That's
needs
right.
be. Won't you? You won't say, well, I'm tired of that all because of that person. No, all because of the truth. That's their problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Yeah. Still ain't got to the point yet. That's all right. Even the forgiveness of sins. And then it talks about this one. The one that we have redemption. The one whose kingdom we've been translated into. The one that's given us forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God. Now look at it. Here's that phrase, the firstborn. And what sense? In the same sense that I was the firstborn in the Pendleton family to Roy Edward Pendleton Jr. and Mary Linda Pendleton. Not in that sense. Uh-uh. The firstborn, what he is, the eternally created, the eternally purposed God-man. Remember, he was the Son of Man in heaven even when he was on earth.
Yes, sir.
And even before he became the actual Son of Man, he said of himself, what, does this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?
That's right.
Where was he before? With the Lord in the beginning.
Amen.
Right? Before his works of old. That's where he was. The firstborn of every creature. Now he defines to us what he means by this phrase. We could go into a lot, you know, men, I have done it. We go into all these little details. Paul tells it. Here's what I'm talking about. For, right? That's verse 16, right? For. So we let us know he's now trying in some way to define for us what he's just said, right?
Yep.
For by him were all things created.
Amen.
All right, so right there, he was not created like all other creation was.
Exactly.
Right? Because anything that was actually created as we think of creation, that which existed from nothing into something, remember Jesus Christ was that which was something.
Yes, sir.
And then he was made to be man, right?
Yes.
As a matter of fact, he wasn't just something. He was everything.
Amen.
You see, he was full before he became the God-man. Mason, he was still just as full as he'd ever been if he'd never become the God-man. But nevertheless, for by him were all things created. But in what sense? Well, there's got to be a limit to that, though, right? Right? Well, that are in heaven, that are in earth. Whether they're visible or invisible. It says visible and invisible. Because he's not arguing the point here. I'm arguing the point. That's why I changed. He's not arguing the point. He's stating the facts. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible or invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. That includes everything from the best to the worst.
Yes, sir.
Good and evil.
That's right.
Righteous and wicked. No, not God. Yeah, God, the Son. Yeah. He hath created all things for himself. Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil.
Amen.
That's what the book says, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
Well, what's that mean? Just what it says. You don't need me to interpret. You go talk to people. Well, that's the way your pastor interprets it. I hope you think I don't stand up here and try to interpret to you. And one of the best things that somebody ever said about me was, no, my pastor don't interpret. He just tries to preach what it says. That kind of made my head swell, David. But nevertheless, that's a good thing. It's a good thing. Principalities of power. And then look at it. all things were created by him. Well, that's one thing. Almost everybody says, now not everybody, because if you start naming details now, they'll back up. You mean even the devil? I mean even the devil. The devil's the devil because God Almighty made him for that purpose. The Son did. And Lucifer could not have failed had God Almighty the Son, even in the covenant purpose of Father and Son, had he not purposed that Lucifer fall. All things were created by him, but not just by him, and for him. And he is, here's what, the Lord possessed me. The beginning, okay? The beginning of his way, the chief of his way, the first principal part of his way, before his works of old, right? And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. Now, I've often said, and it's right, it's not wrong, and by him all things are held together. And there's nothing wrong with that. I was just trying to help us with another word get a hold of what this is saying here. But the word consist is pretty good in and of itself. Because when you say, of what does that consist? You're talking about every little different part of what makes up the whole, right? Well, by him all things consist. You see, I believe it was old Don Fortner said it one time when he was preaching, and I didn't hear it. I heard somebody else, you know, say that he said it. He was preaching, and you could see it was on a bright, sunny day, and the windows, you know, the shades were open, and you could see that sunbeam coming in. You could see the dust. You know how the dust floats in the air? And he said something along the line of God Almighty ordained even every speck of that dust. And he did. To be there right at that moment, at that time. And by him, all things consist. Amen. Now here's a truth. But I'm afraid it's a truth that we really don't get a hold of. I know we don't. We don't get a hold of it. That ought to bring us so much comfort that we ought never to be worried again.
Sure.
You know that? We ought never to doubt again.
Exactly.
We ought never to disbelieve again. Yeah. We ought never to fail again.
That's true.
But we do. Yeah, all of it. All of it. Why? Because this is true. Even when we don't believe it.
Amen.
This is true. Even when we doubt it.
Yeah.
Right? God Almighty's doing this. Even when we fail. Somebody says, if you're a Christian, you may fall. No, if you're a Christian, you will fall.
Yeah.
Somebody says, if you're a Christian, you may sin. No, if you're a Christian, you will sin.
Yeah. That's it.
You're probably not going to take two breaths before you've already sinned in some fashion or some form.
Yeah.
Somebody says, well, what if I go out tomorrow and do this? Well, I wouldn't worry about it a whole lot. You might not even live till tomorrow.
Exactly.
Right? And what if I go out tomorrow and I totally lose it? Well, maybe God will kill you today. And it'll be okay. Right?
Exactly.
Like Tim James said, he's preaching and said, well, what if I do this? He said, come on, get real. He said, what if you do this?
Exactly.
You are guilty of this.
Yeah.
It's not what if I do that. You have done it.
Yeah.
And you still do it. And you do it in here, at least, if you don't do it out here. Somebody said, not me. Well, I guess you ought to move right on in with God. Go on, do it. I dare you. Try it. Climb up there. Build you a tower. Won't work. But let's move on. Look. And he is the head of the body, the church. And here is there's an amazing statement here. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, that in all, and it don't say things, it's just that in all what? All of what I've just previously mentioned.
Yeah.
That in all, he might have the preeminence. Now the word here might, in our language, that's often used in the sense of it, and we usually use the word may. But the point here is not, now he's the head, he's the firstborn, and it may come to pass. No, he is the head, he is the firstborn, therefore he might have the preeminence. The fact is he will have. That's the whole point of the matter it's making. That in all, he might have the preeminence. Why? For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. You see, this is not what God had to do.
Yeah.
And that's the sad way that even some of God's people, I'm afraid. I got to call them that because I think they are God's people. I don't just hope they are. I think they are God's people. But they often present, well, God had to do it this way. No, God was pleased to do it this way.
Yes, sir.
And see, the purpose of God wasn't just for Jesus Christ to come and save us from our sins. The purpose of God for Jesus Christ is that he come into this world and glorify God the Father. That was the purpose of God. Were it the saving of one, or were it the saving of a multitude? If that had been what God Almighty was pleased to do, it would have glorified Christ. You remember what our Lord prayed, and think about the way he prays it. And I've read this, preached on it, time and time again. John 17, our Lord's prayer, the high priestly prayer. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. That's the first thing he said, and that's the first thing that was always on his mind. Oh, that's the whole point. He will glorify God in saving some and damning others.
Amen,
both.
Amen.
Both. And, you know, if God's pleased to reveal that to you, it'll give you, I'm going to talk about assurance, it'll give you some boldness to speak the truth of God in Christ and not lie. Because there was a time when that one side, David, I kind of looked at that as a negative side effect. That's the way I thought of it. I was wrong. Thank God for forgiveness. Right? I was wrong. The damnation of some is not a negative side effect. It will redound to the glory of God Almighty.
Amen.
Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over what? All flesh. That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. He didn't say this is the way to get it. He said this is it. If you know the only true God and the one he sent, you have it.
Amen.
And then look at this next word, this next phrase. And remember where he was. And remember what he had not even done yet. I have glorified thee on the earth.
Yes, sir.
And then look at that next phrase. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do.
Yeah.
You know what? I can't explain that to you.
Yeah.
You know that? I cannot explain that to you. This here has to have been stated by Christ in light of his absolute deity, of the absoluteness of God Almighty's sovereign will. Because he hadn't even yet died on that cross.
That's right.
Had he? He hadn't even yet went into that tomb. He hadn't even yet been raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of God the Father. But he's already in this, even sitting here as the Son of Man praying, I have finished the work you gave me to do. I'm sure that maybe a more able person might be able to give you more details as to what all that means. I think it simply means this. Jesus Christ was full when he was conceived in the womb of the Virgin. He was full. And somebody said, well, but all the rest of it had to happen. It would happen. It's not a matter that it had to happen. It couldn't but happen.
Yeah.
hell, the demons in hell, the devil himself, nor me could have stopped it from happening.
That's right.
And that's still true today.
Yeah.
Well, I sure don't want to stand in the way of some poor soul. Well, if you are, God will crush you and move you out of the way.
That's exactly right.
Maybe we can stand in the way, but God will just crush us.
Yeah.
You know that? And you know what? That's actually a comfort.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's a comfort. Now, I don't want to be in the way. I don't want to be crushed by him, but Mason is still a comfort. Because I know if somebody stands in my way, he'll do the same for me if I'm one of his.
Amen.
Right?
Exactly.
He'll do the same for me. Father, I pray that you comfort us with thy truth. Not that we may simply have knowledge, then to be puffed up with that knowledge as we are so often prone to do. But Lord, that we might be comforted by it, encouraged by it, emboldened by thy spirit by it, but most of all, Lord, be humbled by it. And I ask it in Christ's name.